Oh, God sends such beautiful flowers in our little church. Aren't they beautiful flowers? Wow. And they sang that tonight because of our speaker that we're going to have, or talker. I don't know if we want to all be called speakers up here. We're really all just talking from our hearts. And I believe that very well expresses the thoughts, describes very well the thoughts of the young lady that's going to share her thoughts with us tonight. And I believe all except maybe one or two of you know her already and love her. And it's our Penny.
My notes. Thank you so much for doing that. I really appreciate that. And thank you so much, Cindy, for stepping in, because I originally asked Erica and Jay Loreen to sing the song because I heard it when Lori was speaking, and I loved it so much. So I asked them to do that, but Erica has bronchitis right now, so she was unable to do that. So she promises to sing it again with Jay Loreen, too. And thank you so much, because I know Cindy has such a gorgeous voice, too, that she could step right in there and do it just as well. So thank you. I appreciate that. Anyway, so because this is my first time ever speaking, so we're going to, you know, bear with me. I got my notes here, too. So I want to start off with when I was 4 years old. I remember standing at in my parents' bedroom, looking out the window, and I remember distinctly thinking, where was I before this? I mean, this is coming from a four-year-old kid, right? And then I'm waiting for the answer, you know, and I'm like, I didn't get any answer, and I'm like, but I knew deep down in my heart, I didn't just happen when I was born. I knew that I existed before I was born, and I knew that there was a reason that I didn't know, and I just waited. So I wanted to read something here from my daughter 40 years later when she was 4 years old, Emily. She came up on a Saturday morning to me. Now, this is a dream log here, and so she had a dream, and she came up and she goes, Mama, I dreamed it that I was flying, and I was flying in the air, and angels were in it. Daddy helped me, but he didn't go did in the air a little. He put on wings, and then he could fly all over the world, and angels were all around me. And I was in outer space, and everyone was parading. It was like, whoa, I had to write that down. Now, Emily is 11 now, and she doesn't remember it, you know. And I thought that was really a neat thing to share. And I was born and raised in New Jersey, northern New Jersey, Hohokus, New Jersey, where the Lenni Lenape Indians were. And the reason why I say that, I just remembered when my eighth grade teacher said in eighth grade, everybody's got an Indian guide. And that just stuck with me my whole life. And I'm like, what are you talking about? You know, and I always wondered about that. And it's really interesting because I just recently became friends with him on Facebook. And so I wanted to ask him. So I asked him about that. And and it's interesting because of the class that we had another night talking about outer space. I know I'm going off on my talk here, but he had no recollection of saying that. But I looked in his Facebook, little ditty that he said of his famous quotes, and a close friend of his just recently died, and right before he died, he turned to my eighth grade teacher and said, well, you know what, Paul? We got off on the wrong planet. You know, we should... And I thought that was pretty cool, you know? So anyway, when I was in third grade, that's when I finally realized, that prayer really works. And my mother's mother, Granny, lived with us. And there were we had five kids, and my mom and dad were very close. Anyway, Granny used to tuck me in bed every night, and she would say "Now I lay me down to sleep, I pray the Lord my soul to keep. If I die before I wake, I pray the Lord my soul to take. Keep me safe all through the night, wake me with the morning light." And then God bless everybody in the whole wide world, especially. And then I'd go through all the people that I knew, and one by one, and all that. And so we said that over and over again every night. And then I realized that when I had said that, all of a sudden I'd wake up in the morning, in the morning light. And, at the end, I'd be like, wow, this is pretty cool. And say, in Jesus' name I pray, amen. And when I didn't pray that, I wouldn't wake up. I'd sleep in. Because at the very end, it said, and wake me with the morning light. And I thought, wow, this is pretty cool. Prayer really works. And it got to the certain point, and I was so certain that it worked that I didn't even need an alarm clock, because if I prayed that prayer before I went to bed, I didn't need an alarm clock. So I knew that prayer really worked. So when I was in fourth grade, my father was a deacon in the church, and so we knew a little bit about Bible school and all that stuff, and I know my grandmother, Granny's husband, first husband, was a minister in the church, too. And they were from Sweden. My mom and grandmother used to speak Swedish, so we wouldn't understand what they were talking about. So when I was in fourth grade, I found out that my father's father died of a heart attack when he was 52. And then his father's father died of a heart attack when he was 52. And I'm in fourth grade thinking, okay, how old is my father? And oh my gosh, he's going to be 52 when I'm a senior in high school. And I was like devastated. So I prayed. I said, okay, if he's got to die of a heart attack, please wait until I'm at least a freshman in college. I have to be out of the house. Okay, I know that you have a prayer plan and all that stuff, but I couldn't take my father dying if I was in the house. So I let it go. And then when I was in, I loved my dad. My dad was he worked in the Empire State Building on the 76th floor. So we got to go to the Empire State Building to the tippity top where nobody goes anymore. A little cage at the very top. You go to the top, and then there's another little cage where only about six people can go. And I was like so scared. I'm really afraid of heights. But I know. You're at the top of the Empire State Building. It's like, whoa, okay. So when I was in sixth grade, all five kids had the coolest sixth grade science teacher, Mr. Molzan. And he would joke around and make jokes to everybody, and everybody just, he was a favorite teacher, right? And I'll distinctly remember this thought that I had of like, oh my gosh, he would make the greatest dad. And as soon as I said that, those words were gone from my mouth. My thoughts had been released. I felt devastated because I thought, oh my gosh, I can't believe I just thought that. I love my father so much. Why would I ever think that this guy would be a great dad because I love my dad? But I know it had already gone. I had already thought the thought. There was nothing I can do about it, but I felt guilty about it, But I have a younger sister, Debbie, who is, because I was the smallest, so she's 6 years younger than me, and she was always the mistake and everything. But I always knew that she wasn't a mistake. There was a plan. There was always a plan, And then when I was, I went to art college. I went to the Philadelphia College of Art. I finished my freshman year in Philadelphia. And then I transferred to the San Francisco Art Institute. And I was moving out to San Francisco. And on the way over there, my father had a heart attack. And he died 6 weeks later. And so in transferring over to the San Francisco Art Institute, I lost credits, and I was considered a high freshman. And so I thought that was interesting. I took off a semester, and I worked for a bank, and then came back to transfer back to the Philadelphia College of Art and finished my 4 years there because I wanted to be close to my mom because I knew it would be a financial burden on her and all that. But anyway, so when 6 months after my dad died, and my mom was devastated, but, at 6 months after my dad died, here my sister Debbie was in eighth grade, and our Hohokus public school goes from kindergarten to eighth grade. And so you're with these kids for 9 years, and then you go on, you know. And she was in eighth grade, and she came home, and she, you know, to my mom and said, you know what, Mom, Mr. Molzan seems really sad lately because his wife died at the same time my mom died. And she had cancer for 5 years, so it was, and then she finally died. So he started courting my mom, and 6 months afterwards, they got married. And I was the only one in my family who understood that, and, you know, and everybody else had resentments and all that. But I was like, this is, like, way cool, you know, and, you know, and so I, you know, not taking any love away from my dad, now all of a sudden, I'm one of the lucky ones that I was able to have a second dad. You know, my mom and stepdad were married for 28 years. And then my mom passed away 3 years ago. And my stepfather's still around. He's still my close dad. And when I was 19, and this was the first Thanksgiving with the family. And so it was his family and my family. It was just kind of a little awkward, you know, and emotional and all that and all the feelings and everything. First went home. Granny had gone to a nursing home because she felt so bad that she didn't go before my dad did. So she had gone, she was in a nursing home. And early in the morning on Thanksgiving Day that year, I was going to go to a football game with my sister Debbie and her husband now, and so I told my stepfather, "Can you please wake me up at 9 in the morning?" So in the morning, I'm having this really intense dream, and this dream is I'm hearing this pots and pans clinking in the in the kitchen, and Granny always did the pots and pans clinking in the kitchen. And so I got up out of bed and I went into the kitchen, and there Granny is there. And she's there standing in the kitchen, and she has her 90s on, and she's running around the kitchen like a chicken with her head cut off. She doesn't know what to do. Oh my gosh, the relatives are going to be here any minute now. What are we going to do? Because all the Swedish relatives would come. And she would start cooking 3 weeks in advance, you know, making all the pies and all that, you know, every year. And so, you know, here this is like there's nothing out. And so she's just running around. So I just walked over to her, and I put my arms around her. I said, "Granny, it's okay now. It's okay. Don't worry, you know, come with me now." So we walked through the kitchen wall and disappeared. And then there's a knock on the door, and it was Al waking me up. And he goes, "Oh, it's 9 in the morning." And I'm like, "Oh, God, what a dream." You know, okay, fine. We went out to the football game, came back at 1 in the afternoon. Al answered the door and said, "Granny died at 9 in the morning." And so that really, really stuck with me. And then, I remember, too, in high school, recalling this because I have a daughter. Some of us have mutual daughters. We're starting to learn how to drive now. And here I'm like, driving in New Jersey in a winter time, and really, really cold. I mean, it was probably in the 20s that day. It was so cold. And very rarely did I get to drive to school. I don't know why. And for some reason, on the way home from high school, I was drawn into this Silfans, which is a store, you know. And so I figured I'd go in there and start looking at the clothes. I'm like, why am I here? As soon as I got in there, my best friend and her friend were walking home. They were so cold, they had to get in to get out of the cold. And they're like, "Penny, oh my gosh, can you give us a ride home?" So it's like I knew I kind of would use my gut to do that. And I knew that I was guided to help out in that respect. And and dreams are always really important to me. My mom bought me a dream book really young also, and I thought, wow, I started learning a lot about that. And when I lived in San Francisco, for one full year, my diary was logging my dreams. I remember up to when I wake up in the morning, I remember writing up to 13 dreams in one night, you know. So it got really, you know, there's all different types of dreams. Real interesting, looking at precognitive dreams and, you know, looking it back and all that. So you really do. It's really interesting. So this next dream that I had was really neat. I was about 21, I think, and I was in college still. And I was dating this guy, and we were in bed sleeping, and I was dreaming that I was in, now mind you, I'd never been in a desert before. I was driving at night in the desert, and I remember cactus here, cactus there, going and just driving and driving and driving. And then all of a sudden, this is a dream, mind you, all of a sudden I had to, there was an onion underneath the pedal, and it was thumping underneath the pedal, and I had to fix the onion in order for me to be safe driving. Okay, you know how weird dreams are, right? So I felt something pulling my ankles and go, whoosh, and here all of a sudden I'm levitating in space, and I remember seeing the stars and all of that, just levitating. There was, it was like a vacuum, just levitating. This is how I'm fixing the onion. And, okay, so I'm like, okay. But then I thought, oh, my gosh, I'm driving in this car. I better get back to, wake up and get driving, because I don't want to get into an accident. So I felt my some force pulling my ankles again, and I'm all of a sudden, I'm driving, And the guy that I was sleeping next to, I never saw him again after this, because he was so scared, because he saw my astral body projecting above my body, floating, and my feet glowed, my feet glowed and went right through the wall. And I can imagine the hairs on his end. So a lot of times I have seen the, being close to the connection of, you know what, there really is something else than just this. You know, there is that, you know, we are spirits, and there is a lot more than just the spirits in our body here. And there is this one, my stepsister, Karen, who lives in the L.A. area. She's my Al's daughter. I had this vivid dream recently, and I shared it in Thursday night class. As a God story. And I had a dream that, oh my gosh, I saw Al's first wife, my stepfather's first wife, with her growing up. I saw her having her daughter, a baby. I saw Al laying there like, oh, exhausted after the baby, and her being in the house. All these details. So it was just really, really vivid. And so I was like, oh my gosh, I woke up and I'm like, oh, that's incredible. And I was ready to go back to sleep again. All of a sudden, something fell off the wall. And I'm like, okay. And Mike woke up going, oh my gosh, my husband, Mike, what was that? What the heck was that? And I'm like, okay, that means to me that I need to write this down. And it was kind of like message bearing. It was a message for her. I had to write this down. And so I wrote this letter to her in detail of this dream for her. And she wrote me on Easter Sunday this letter back saying, and we don't have any communication, really. We were adults, really, when we were, we just kind of really never had that. She just said, you're an angel. It was like holding a part of her mom, of saying, knowing that her mom has always been close with her. And it was just, she would cry and cry and cry. Rereading this letter that I wrote to her about her mom over and over again. And she said, in a good way, these tears were good tears, And but it was like holding part of her mom. So she really, really sincerely thanked me for it. So, had it not been for Millie's classes and learning that, I wouldn't have taken that as, oh, it's a message, like message bearing to share that with her. And so now I'm kind of segueing here to the getting to Millie's classes here and what this church is all about. It's about the healing and the love energy here. And and Millie's really taught me a lot, in the classes, we tell our God stories. It's really exciting to hear the God stories about everybody. And then we learn a lot about the Bible. And I'm always asking my question. I always have certain questions in the Bible. And the one that I've been stuck on for a long time now is that when Jesus spoke about his healings, he said that we can do all of this. He had all of his disciples went out and did the same thing that he was doing. And he's telling all of us that we can do the same thing that he did and more. And I've been stuck on the and more. I mean, I've been stuck on that we can do this, you know, much less and more, you know. And so I've been really, really thinking, okay, you know, is it because we don't use part of our, you know, all of our brains? Are we going to be all of a sudden like the 100th monkey theory of, you know, and I've been waiting for this, you know, spontaneous quantum leap of consciousness for on Earth. I knew that something's happening really big, really exciting for us, and I just know that it's going to be happening in our lifetime. And it's a real good positive shift in consciousness. I just know it. And so anyway, the Anne Moore has been something that I've been really, really interested in. And it's like when I go to Tuesday night class, and when we have in the spiritual awareness class, it's like, you know, my husband would be like, well, how come you keep going? And it's like, you know, I mean, why not? I mean, it's part of me. It's like I took piano lessons for 9 years. And out of that, I could probably play a good for Elise, you know, and that's about it, you know. But it's like some people are just born with it. But I really feel that our spiritual attunement, we can develop it. It's just like playing the piano. If you don't know how to play the piano, well, if you take enough lessons, you'll know how to play for release, you know. And, you know, it's just keep doing it and practicing and being aware of your thoughts and your deeds and your actions. And, you know, I've always believed that you create your own reality through your own thoughts and belief system, you know. And that's really, and every time I pick up a metaphysical book, it's like, I already knew that, you know. It's like, I knew that at four, you know. It's like, come on, you know. It's just innate. It's just kind of unfolding even more and more. And then these God stories, and that's the fun part of where we see God and the angel kingdom working for our lives. And the enthusiasm behind these stories helps to raise our vibration closer to the angels so that they can help us with the second part of class. And I saw this enthusiasm and passion in this one little girl who I teach art lessons to. And Lori, you might have remembered this too. Lori teaches with me at Sweetwater Springs. And this girl, Rhiannon, she's always really shy and she keeps to herself. But then one day her eyes were beaming and they were all lit up. And it was so cute. She was like busting at the seams, like, and then the butterflies, and then the cuckoos, and then the raven. It's like she was just so excited about these little butterflies and the cocoons, and she just, it's like, it was just really, it's like the same type of enthusiasm that we have when we share our God stories, you know. Here, it's just, it's really, really neat, you know. Especially me, I've always seen them. Birds, and I'm like, oh my God, you know, I saw a bird, you know. Right. And it's like we become alert and aware of what our, you know, our classmates are doing, and all these little, I don't know, it's really, really great. Anyway, so this is the God story that Millie asked me to talk about tonight. And it's like one time recently we drove up to Palm Springs and we took the tram up to the mountain. And we wanted to play in the snow. And I have two daughters, 11-year-old, 15-year-old, and my husband and I. And so in the beginning of the drive there, I saw three hawks. And I'm like, oh, and two of them were sitting on lampposts. One was going facing this way. The other one's facing that way. And then the third one was over in the woods, you know, or on a tree over on the side of the road. And I'm like, oh, my gosh, this is going to be a real interesting day. Some really great things are going to happen. So it's like when I wake up in the morning, I usually feel that way. It's like, oh, my God, what's today gonna have, it's what's in store for today, you know. I really like always look forward to all the great things that are gonna happen. And so I knew that something, you know, with nature, something different was gonna happen. And you know, Millie's always saying watch your thoughts, you know. And for those of you who don't know, when we're in class for a while at Millie's class, I mean, did that make sense? When we're in class for a while, after a while, we get introduced to our Indian guides. And my Indian guide is Resting Eagle that works close with me. So it's a little bit harder to see eagles a lot. So he comes as feathers for me, which is feathers. Here, I was just thinking of what I'm going to say later on. So that's why I said feathers. You'll see. Okay. But I think he comes as hawks. To me. So that's real exciting to me. I feel, oh my God, there's Resting Eagle. He's with me. And every time I see a hawk, oh, there's my hawk. You know, it's like he's mine, right? So when we go to Palm Springs, we get out of the car. And I don't know if you've ever been in the Palm Springs tram before, but it's real steep in the parking lot, just going from the parking lot up to where you get the tram, and I'm like huffing and puffing, and I'm like, I'm like, I'm not going to go there with thinking I'm an old lady and I can't do this. And it's like, oh my gosh, I was like so out of breath going up there. It was, you know, it was really hard, but I'm like, I'm not going there. I'm not going to say I'm too old. I'm not going to go on that thought pattern at all. So we get up to the tram station and we're waiting in line for a real long time. And then I see this man in this wheelchair and he's got his happy look on his face and he's, you know, and then all of a sudden he's looking out the window, and he's like waving, you know, he's waving outside. And I'm like, oh my gosh, what is he looking at outside? Is there a hawk? And I'm like in my own little fantasy world thinking, you know, all these fun things, right? And then it dawned on me that this guy had Parkinson's disease, and he had no control over his waving. And the second I thought that, all of a sudden I got that, I was hit with a wave of healing energy, they call it. It's like beam me up, Scotty energy. That's the what I can feel. It's like this tube of energy. And you feel, you experience this type of energies in Millie's class. I've never experienced that before outside of here until, I mean, I do now experience it outside of here only because I've recognized it in Millie's class. But it was like this beam of energy coming all the way down me. It's like, okay. And I'm thinking, okay, what do I do with this? This is the healing energy. This is the healing energy that, you know, Jesus talked about, like, I'll get that story in the Bible here of when he said he was in a crowd of people and there was a woman who had, she was bleeding for 12 years and she wanted to be healed and she went through the crowds and she touched his robe and Jesus is like, all right, who touched me? You know? No, he was like, he felt the power leaving himself. He felt that energy leaving himself. But there were so many people around. He didn't know. He asked who did it, you know. And the woman said, I did. And he said, by your faith alone, you're healed. And she was. And then I think there might have been one incident, too, where they did it for a child. The same type of thing with a child. And they wanted, by your faith alone, your child is healed. And I just couldn't find that in the Bible. But that's how I remembered it. But I could only find the other one. So he did so many different healings and all that. So like he said, we can do this and more, you know, which is like an esteem issue too, a self-esteem. Can you imagine if you can do better things than him? That's great, you know. That's awesome, you know. So anyway, this beam me up Scotty energy is with me and this guy. And I think, okay, what am I going to do with it? And then I thought of Jesus Christ. So what I did was I sent that energy over to him for the healing energy to go over to him. And so as soon as I did, that feeling left as soon as it came. As quick as it came, it left. And I know it's none of my business whether or not he was healed or not, but I had to peek. And so I looked, and his hand stopped waving. I thought, oh, that's kind of cool. You know, so then, I mean, this story gets better, you know. And then... So we get onto the mountain. All of a sudden, this is a consequence of doing healing. This is people the people that are healers, that are healing, like it's better to give than to receive, you know, type of thing. You know. I was like, I floored myself. It was like I was that little kid on that mountain. I did more runs with that sleigh. I would go down the bottom of the mountain and then get up, run to the top. Go down again, run to the top, go down, run to the top, go down, run to the top. I'm like, this is great. I felt like a little kid. And my kids were like, Mom, slow down. And it's like, you know, and I'm like, one more time, one more time, one more time. And, you know, that night or the next morning, normally, Motrin would have been my best friend. But I didn't even feel a thing the next day. Nothing, nothing. And I'm like, this is really great. Because sometimes this energy that's in class stays with us because we'll have things like Mary, the Mother Mary came through me one time and oh my gosh, you would feel this energy going from the feet all the way up and then stop and then go all the way down and then come up and it's like, this is weird. You know, and then it's like I would see a hawk during the course of the, and then we're like, all of a sudden I'd feel that energy. It would just stick with you. And it's, we learned so much from this class. It's just really, really, really cool. You know, so anyway, so also going up the tram and down the tram, me with an extreme acrophobia, because when I was three, my father took me at Niagara Falls and said to the other kids, said, "See, there's nothing to be afraid of." And I wonder, why do I have a fear of heights, you know? And so anyway, so going up and down the tram, I felt like I was flying like a hawk, and it was just the most amazing thing ever. I would normally feel really afraid, but I wasn't afraid at all. And I totally felt that presence with me again, that healing energy. It was really, really cool. And you know, so anyway, so I really wanted to show this here. When I got home that night, it was really cool. Lori, you'll have to explain this to Lori, because you're roommates with Lori. At Lori's birthday party, Millie was there, a lot of us were there, she lent me this book. It's called God's Way of Life. Little did Lori know that Adele Tinning used to go to this church and give readings, right? And she used to be a part of this church and do table tipping, all this stuff. And she wrote this book from the words of Jesus Christ. And this is a type of book where you just open up. And then I would be like talking outside without saying anything. Stan starts talking about this. And, oh, you have to have the edition that's signed by her and blah, blah, blah. And it's signed, you know. So, you know, I'm part. So I'm like, okay, I got to still know about this healing, about this experience that I had, okay? So I have to learn a little bit more. What's really going on? So I open it up, and it's the type of thing where you don't look, you just open it up, right? Page 91 from Jesus. And this is from her channeling Jesus. You are only, this is like incredible. You are only, you are only tuned into healing vibrations that your mind is tuned into. If you continue to think there is no cure for your illness, there is no cure because you are tuned in on a negative channel. The healing channel cannot get through. If you are thinking disharmony, disharmony comes in. All of mankind is so used to listening to all types of news, whether constructive or destructive, that your tuning stations are constantly being turned from one vibration to another. To get well from any illness, you must have people around you who are thinking and talking good health. The more love people are sending you, the faster you will get well. But the important contact must be made by you. You cannot receive anything from stations or vibrations. You are not tuned into yourself. All the prayers and love in the world would do you no good if you are not tuned in to receive them. Remember this important message, reread many times. So I just thought that was like really cool because that was like the answer that I mean, all about that day. It was really neat. You should try it sometime. You know, it can change the world, really, one person at a time. I mean, a total stranger. Who would you think, you know, you're online with all these strangers and you're sending somebody a healing? You know, whether they get that healing or not is not up to me. It's totally up to God. And so anyway, I'm going to close here real quick because I know we got stuff to do. But on the same level, the very next week, you guys have heard this, dude. I was walking on mission trails. When I came across this hawk feather in my path. And I was like, it was like, oh my gosh, you know, like that little kid, you know. And it had all this dew on it. It was just the morning dew. It was absolutely the most beautiful thing. I mean, like, oh my gosh, thank you, Resting Eagle. This is like awesome, you know. And then it's like, you know, those 10,000 thoughts you have in a split second. Are you always doing that, you know? And so I'm thinking about these things and more again. And I thought, wouldn't it be great? And I'm like holding this thing and I'm thinking, you know, I'm thinking, thank you, Resting Eagle, right? I thought, wouldn't it be great to be on the next level of spirituality, you know, for the Enmore, to be, in order to do the Enmore, to be on the next level. And I would love to be on the next level. How do I get to the next level? I'm trying to get to the next level. What do I do to get to the next level? And then, aha, it hit me. And then I thought, thank you for being on the next level. It's great to be here on this level of spirituality. Okay, and then in that split second, that aha moment, I ducked because the screech of the hawk was so loud right here. literally like a foot behind my head. It was like, oh my gosh, talk about a big wake-up call. You know, I had to tell Rita, you know, and then I see a bluebird, which is my mom, and it's like all these birds, right? And then it's like that Zen thing, you know, that Zen ruler. And but it really scared the living daylights out, but it really stuck with me, that whole thing, really, really stuck with me. It was the most awesome spiritual moment. It really was, you know. And it was, I was just as excited as that little girl with the little butterfly cocoons, you know, manifesting. And so it's just, you know, really manifesting the Anne Moores. Really, I really think that we can do it. We can really do it, and it's there, and we just have to look for it. And then Millie's class just really helps you. It's like practice, 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 and the more you practice, the better you get at it. And it's all natural for us. It really is, because we're just spirits here. And I think that's it. I think I got it, right? I think I covered everything.
That's what you call being on a spiritual high. Did she just put all that good love and delightful energy out there? Did everybody catch it?
Yes.
There's no shortage coming out of that girl, huh? Was that delightful?
Yes. Great job, Penny.